B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Birkin. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
We're going back, baby! And there ain't nothing you can do about it! America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags, start our buses. We're coming home, Boston.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson.
Toucher and Rich.
That's right, baby. You hit the big time.
Here, man.
Finally in studio.
Hey, I hit the big time.
Dude, you guys, I don't mean to just, interrupt you, but I got to tell you, I'm excited to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Toucher and Rich fan. Every morning I tap that app and I listen to you guys every morning. And I moved back to Boston a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And so I listen to you guys all the time, all the shows. But I would come back for years to visit my kids who live in Wayland. And I listen to you guys for years. So I'm a fan of you guys for a long time. And it was nice that you guys would have me in, so it's good to be here, guys.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we were just
don't feel so much pressure.
we're just human beings. This much greatness, I can see how it can be intimidating.
We're just regular guys.
I get it, man. But it's still, I'm a little overwhelmed, man. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Well, you came from a station. We were just talking about this off the air, right? When you walked in, you used to do radio down in Houston,
correct?
And the one thing I immediately think of when I think of Houston Sports Talk Radio is last year's Super Bowl Radio Row. When one station from Houston got in a screaming match with another station from Houston to the point where one of the hosts ended up getting, what's the word? Their badge taken away, expelled from
ejected.
Radio Row?
Ejected from Radio Row.
They suspended
from
him.
All.
And so then he ended up going to like...
The entire week, I think he got ejected. He got basically kicked out of Radio Row.
Yeah,
and then... He got to broadcast from a bar.
No, it was Perkins.
I thought it was like
it was Perkins.
Yeah, it was a Perkins.
It was like an IHOP that he broadcast, which I thought was funny.
So appropriate for the guy for that guy. So if you know that guy, Josh Innes, who we're talking about, he's with our competitor, 790 down there in Houston. He used to be with Sports Radio 610, where I worked before I moved back, and just a lot of bad blood there. And you know, he's a shock jock. He hates kind of talking sports. I mean, but he's one of those guys. His claim to fame, Josh Innes, the guy who picked the fight with one of our morning guys.
Uh-huh.
I say picked the fight. He kind of provoked things, if you will, he basically butt into the guy to our morning show.
Mm-hmm.
With the producer. His producer came by with a mic while they're trying to do their show and butt in trying to get him to talk into the mic so that they could use it for their show. Very inappropriate and kind of a douchey thing to do. But
sure.
If you know Josh Innes, that's kind of what he does. Josh Innes' claim to fame is his dad was the voice of Scooby-Doo. Literally the voice of Scooby-Doo. And so Josh Innes grew up in a home where his dad was the voice of Scooby-Doo. He was around radio. So he's this kind of like, he's the kid that was probably, 5 years old in his house, in his room, doing sports talk, right? Because that's what his dad did besides doing voices for Scooby-Doo. And so he's just kind of this radio savant. He is. He can sit down. I did a national show with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'd be like, show prep? Screw show prep. I mean, literally just show up 5 minutes, turn the mic on, and he would go. I had no idea where he was going, what direction. Very talented guy.
Sure.
But a first-class a-hole. I mean, just a bad dude. Nobody likes to work with him. And so he went to Philly and just burned bridges in Philly.
Yeah.
And it was weird because you think his shtick would work in Philly, but they got tired of him in Philly. He burned all his bridges there, came back to Houston, worked at our competitor. And so that was what you saw, was kind of him being back in the Houston market at our competitor, still kind of holding grudges against Sports Radio 610 for not signing him to a long-term deal or whatever it was. And, he got into it with Maybe the wrong guy, Seth Payne, who was a nose tackle in the NFL for 10 years. He co-hosted the morning show down there.
Man.
Yeah, it was drama, 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 drama.
I mean, it was, you could, okay, so we know Josh Innes. I mean, we're not like, you know, he's been in contact with us before, and we've had him on before, so I know of him. But the one thing I found the funniest of all of it is the argument was over, like, whether or not one of them had a 2-share or a 2.5-share.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
It was a real big-time ratings battle.
And I'm thinking to myself,
okay, well,
that's like 14th in this market, right. I think.
Well, now I'm embarrassed. Now I'm embarrassed that people know what our ratings were like down in Houston.
Yeah. That was their show, so
our show had good ratings, but just in general, like sports talk radio in Houston, it couldn't be more different.
Sure,
it's chill. It's Texas, man. It's chill. It's not like blood sport like it is here. Not as nearly as competitive. It's still great to do, and I had a great time. But the ratings, there's a huge discrepancy between ratings up in here down versus down.
Is it college ball? I mean, like, how much of it is you know, college football? Do you guys just
Rich? You would be shocked.
Okay,
how little college football is talked about. You know, Houston, Texas is just like Boston in the sense that it's a pro town, very much a pro town. And you think, really? I mean, Houston, you got all the Southeast Conference,
sure,
and the Big 12, and you would think it would be all college. It's not. I feel like Atlanta's that way.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But Houston,
it's all college.
And, you know, and really to just boil it down,
yeah,
where you just sometimes, like, even though I played football, sometimes it's a little bit, all right, dude, can we talk about something other than the NFL and the Houston Texans? Because that's all people care about.
What about high school football? Because I know I lived in Dallas for a little bit, and I lived right down the road from that mega stadium they just built in Allen.
Yes.
I think it was, which is a suburb of Dallas.
Which is right. Such a great way to spend money at a high school.
Right, taxpayer money.
A shrine to 0.5% of the student population.
How many seats is that thing?
20,000.
It's over 20,000.
I thought it was 15, but whatever.
You know, and I don't know if you ever drove through Midland, Odessa, and Permian. I mean, Friday Night Lights. Yeah. You see those stadiums,
sure,
and that is the entire town. So were people freaking out about high school football at all down there?
You know what? There used to be shows where they would do, like, around, you know, early February when it was, you know, guys would sign to go to colleges. Like, I guess they used to dedicate shows to, like, recruits in the area and where they were going.
Oh.
Like, stick a needle in my eye. I guess that was the way it used to be. But it's not that way anymore.
Okay.
So as big as high school football is in Texas and down there, it doesn't move the needle in sports talk.
Well, okay.
So it's not something you talk about.
My parents live in Knoxville, and there'll be people who call in, and it will be like, you know, January, there was a young man who came into an eighth grade dance wearing a yellow blazer. I believe he looks like he could put on some weight. Safety, perhaps. So, yeah.
There's a group of people, a niche group of people that get off to that. I mean, there's that.
Sure.
Can't get enough of recruiting talk and following all these high school players.
Oh, yeah.
But is your mom and dad from? Are you from Knoxville?
I'm from Detroit. They retired to Knoxville.
Oh, love Knoxville. They live on one of those lakes in Knoxville.
Yeah, baby, Lake Teleco.
That's where my uncle lives, on Lake Teleco. I got family down in Knoxville. Great time.
Yeah.
I highly recommend going to one of the what are the strip clubs down? Like, strip clubs in Knoxville. If you haven't lived until you've been to a strip club in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I would guess
it just popped open.
There's things that you see in there that you just like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I bet you this only goes on in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I bet you it's a lot of cesarean scars and then full contact.
Fred, if full contact is for sure.
One of those places where it catches you by surprise, even. Like, oh, wow, well, that wasn't expensive.
Do they have the mega stores there? Because I remember, because when I was a kid growing up, and I lived in near Atlanta, and I remember after that I moved to Dallas, and I was like, I thought every strip club was the size of a Walmart. But then I just realized that only in Atlanta and Dallas that they're all that size. Is that the same thing with Tennessee?
It's not that.
Okay.
It's a charming little kind of hole in the wall type strip clubs.
Okay, all right. You're counting teeth?
Oh, yeah.
You would think, too, because University of Tennessee's there, that there would be girls that are, like, working. But it's funny because we were driving over Christmas to this, whatever, like this place with video games or something. Yeah. And in the parking lot next door, my mom's like, oh, that's a strip club. I'm like, what is it? The size of a shack.
Oh, yeah.
So you go in there. I would imagine you go in there and you're like, wow, a dollar gets you a lot.
You need, like, what is it, a hazmat suit? Like, going in there? It's a little scary, but I'm telling you, it's eye-opening and very interesting.
Yep.
So I highly recommend if you're in the Knoxville area, and that's something that you enjoy doing.
Sure.
Stop into one in Knoxville. You'll never see anything like it.
Stop one there on the way to Dollywood, the amusement park that is Dolly Parton themed.
That is Pigeon Forge.
That's Pigeon Forge. Right up the road. Hop, skip, and a jump.
Our boss worked in Pigeon Forge.
He did. He worked for Dolly Parton, as a matter of fact, who apparently is extremely pleasant to work for.
I still find her very attractive.
Yeah. And can I just have one thing, one request. Before I leave today at 8 o'clock, I just have one observation on Sarge.
Okay.
On Mike Wright.
Oh, you were at the Kowloon.
I was there last
night.
It's
good to see you.
Okay. And it was only, John, it was great to see John, and it put the face to the voice.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But I have an observation about one Mike Riley, so I'd like to share that if I can before I'm off.
Fantastic. Without a doubt, I'm looking forward to this.
Ted Johnson in studio for the hour, 617-779-0985. We'll cover more Houston radio and also Knoxville strip clubs. We'll have all that for you in just a moment.
Brady takes the step. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long. He throws it down the left side for Dorsett. Yes. And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
What did I just tell you? You forget about him. And that's what this team's about. My God. The double pump by Brady to have the cojones, the stones to send the pocket. Calmly give the pump. And it's a pump and go.
Cojones.
It was Cajones? Is that what he said?
Yes. In the first half and the AFC Championship.
It's Cajones, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Cajones.
Cajones?
Yes.
Maybe that's the
Learn some Spanish.
Spanish pronunciation. I'm not sure.
Learn every language to say balls. That's a big thing. Ted Johnson is in studio, and he was out with the Calhoun crew yesterday, which I want to get to eventually. But, all right, so the Patriots... Usually, you know, it's unfinished business, and they kind of towed this line. After the game on Sunday, they were demonstrably more excited than they generally seem, unless I'm making that up in my own head. Especially Brady. Brady was. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you attribute that to, that him being that wound up after that game?
You know, I think, Fred, it was one of those deals where Tom, whatever happened preceding the divisional round game against the Chargers, he got his backup, something. I don't know if – I'm trying to figure out, like, all of a sudden, this team got its cojones back, got its balls back,
mm-hmm.
and it all kind of started what I started seeing happen was – something triggered, something, a light went on, turn on the switch. That's kind of what I've been saying the last couple weeks when I saw them play the Buffalo Bills and then the New York Jets at home back-to-back in Foxborough to finish off the season. Ted, it's the Buffalo Bills. It's the New York Jets. I got it. Mm-hmm. I know. They're cupcakes. But something clicked for the defense in that Buffalo game. I just saw it. They came together after getting their asses kicked against the Steelers. That was an embarrassing performance by that defense. They figured it out in Buffalo. The offense against the Jets, it was the second week they didn't have Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
And it was the best passer rating that Tom had all season long. It's the Jets. I don't care if it's a glorified scrimmage. It doesn't matter. Okay? That's still an NFL football team over there. And I just saw the offense figure it out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there thinking, if I'm the Patriots – and I get to chill wild card weekend again.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of went sleepwalking through the season mostly. And I think partly due because of what happened in the Super Bowl. There was a hangover on this. There was just this long kind of dark and cloudy malaise for this football team all season long, I think because of the Super Bowl.
Now, do you think that the Brady missing the OTAs and the situation with Gronkowski, did that figure into that at all?
Absolutely. So I think it all factors in, Fred.
Right.
And so they're sitting there, wild card weekend, mm-hmm. and they're going, we host the Chargers.
Yeah.
They just played a very physical game. They got to come back out to the East Coast, which is more important than people want to give it credit.
Like okay.
Going West Coast to East Coast, West Coast to East Coast, yeah. within 2 weeks, that can really factor in the game. And I knew it would, and it did. So I'm just saying the Patriots, whatever, I don't know if Bill came to him and said, gave a montage of like all of Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith's shakes on through this. But believe it or not, guys, and that's what Bill does. He can find every little nugget out there to use as motivation. And we're grown men. And you know what we do every single time when Bill does this whole, like, they don't believe in you thing?
You eat it up.
Fall for it every time.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that's what, so Bill, you're surprising. Right.
Screw them, Bill. Yep. Let's go get them, Bill.
I love it.
Yeah. Right. And so I think what happened, to answer your question, Fred, is like, I think these guys were like, all we got to do is win one game on the road, and then we're back in it again.
Yep.
And this whole bad taste we've had in our mouth all season long is gone. And then, you know, and here we go, kind of thing.
I heard you.
So I think that's why they're so fired up. I think that they realize, you guys, that it's right in their hands again, despite just kind of going through the motions most of the season.
No, so, I think I heard, real quick, Fred, because to that, I think I heard you say the other day that you don't believe that Brady was hurt. Because that's an explanation for a lot of people are using, is that, okay, his MCL was screwed up, and now he's feeling himself, but you don't think he was hurt.
You know what I would love, Rich? I would love that if I wasn't playing great, people just, he's got to be hurt. That'd be nice. He's got to be hurt.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. I'm hurt. That's why I'm not playing well.
But he collapsed onto the ground out of nowhere.
Okay, that's one piece of evidence to maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't see that video. People talking about he grabbed his knee.
He's just walking off the field, just collapsed onto the ground. Yeah. And
I'm not going to use that one piece of video evidence as he's hurt, and that explains his problem. Let's face it. He didn't have Julian. He wasn't there for OTAs. He didn't have Julian Edelman for the first 4 weeks, and he's trying to fit in Josh Gordon into this offense.
Josh Gordon was a pro, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There was just Gronk wasn't the same guy early. You know, like, he isn't the same guy. I mean, look, he had a phenomenal game. Gronk had a phenomenal game Sunday, but he hadn't been the same guy.
Sure.
There's all these other factors that go into maybe why his production was. Tom Brady, I don't think he was hurt. At the end of the day, he says he wasn't hurt. I didn't see it. Now, he's spinning out of throws, Ted. It's just he's falling backwards. I've seen that happen in guys. Peyton Manning, okay? Peyton Manning, early in his career, you know what you never did? You never blitzed him. Ever. Because he would kill you. Later in his career, blitz him all the time because he'd spin out of throws.
Yeah.
His brother Eli, he's been doing it for 5 years now. It's the older guys get, I think, in this league, the more they think about getting hit.
Oh, sure.
I saw it happen with Drew Bledsoe. So I feel like it was more about him getting older, feeling more of a pass rush, seeing things that maybe wasn't there later in his career, like I've seen a lot of the great ones do later in their career.
Now, when when you were playing defense, like what was the, like when you knew that there was a guy who you realized was starting to see the ghost? Like, you know how when they get older, they just all of a sudden they start ducking and they bust out of plays a little bit earlier. I have to think you're licking your chops.
Please,
when you see that.
Send me up the A-gap. send me up the A-gap. In pressure. This is what you got going now, guys, is you got these guys do such a great job. Do they have an elite pass rush? No, they don't. But they have great scheme, and they apply pressure constantly with stunts and twists. And then they, in this third down amoeba thing, they send guys at you from all different angles early in the game, and it gets these quarterbacks kind of rattled early. And so you got them early in the game for the rest of the game like a cat on a hot tin roof back there.
All right, explain the amoeba thing.
Because everyone's using that now, and I see the formation. Like, they're showing it, but kind of explain.
A lot of guys standing around, walking around.
Right. To be honest with you, I'm not watching a lot of film.
Freddie, you ready? I'm ready for this. All right, so the amoeba front, this whole amoeba front, was started back in the teams I played on, 2003, 2004. And I'm not kidding you, Fred. Okay, I was the backup to Teddy on, like, nickel and dime, and that runs a lot of these. And I'd be like, Teddy, don't get hurt, because I don't know what the hell y'all are doing out there. I mean, I was like, where are they going? What are they doing? I swear to God, I'm not even kidding when I would say that. I'm like, I hope he doesn't get hurt because I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go on this play, man. Where's he going? But it's basically the amoeba front is you have linebackers subbing in for D linemen. And so you can rush them. You can drop them. You can have them in coverage. You can rush them outside. You can rush them. There's versatility. All right. Mm-hmm, yeah. So Van Noy, Hightower, Trey Flowers, they're linebackers. They can also rush the passer.
Right.
That makes that amoeba front very, very difficult to defend because you don't know who's coming on any given play. Where most teams, they have guys that are designated D linemen, designated linebackers to do just linebacker things or just D linemen. So quarterbacks can sit there and they go, well, I know he's not coming because he never comes because he's a linebacker. Oh, well, the Patriots, it's like, he actually might be Russian.
Yeah.
You know, and it really creates confusion on the offensive line.
Okay. So back in the day, I saw a quote from you where you were talking about before the game sometimes, you wouldn't know where it came from, but you would get a sheet that had the audibles of the opposing team on it.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Oh, God. Just look at John. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
We would do, well, we had a very good scouting department. And so there was a lot of times what will happen if we're playing a game against an opponent where, you know, we can make a call to a coach on a staff that had just played that team.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what were you guys hearing? You know, it was really before maybe people were like listening to the TV versions of audibles.
Sure.
So guys, that went on a lot around the NFL where if you can call somebody on another team that's played the opponent you're playing, that they can give you tips or clues into what the audibles are, then you use it. You use it to your advantage.
Okay, which team was the worst at shaking things up? Like, it was just like you knew every play that was coming.
For me, it was easy. There's one team, and it was the Miami Dolphins. I mean, I'll just give you a real quick story on that. Yeah. So it was 1997. This was in the Belichick era. Right?
Okay.
So this went on all the time. So we played the, I want to say it was in 1998, 97, 98 or 97, I can't remember. We played the Dolphins the last game of the season in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
We had to, if we beat the Dolphins, then we made it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we weren't sure who our opponent was going to be. We just knew we'd make it to wild card. So we beat the Dolphins, and it turned out to be that we hosted the Dolphins the following weekend, wild card weekend in Foxborough.
Okay.
All right.
Same team twice.
Same team twice.
That's right. Right in a row.
Well, Dan didn't change the audibles from the week before. So, true story, my boy Swamp Chicken, Todd Collins, we call him Swamp Chicken. Swamp, he from Knoxville, Tennessee. And that establishment I went to was with Swamp. God bless you, buddy, if you're listening to that.
That's why they call him Swamp. Swamp. He's wearing the mesh shorts.
Swamp picked off. He saw the audible from Dan, and it was a slant. He knew it was a slant route because it was the same audible the week before. And Todd picks off the slant, goes for a pick six. We win that game. And that's the clearest kind of example I can
just
give you.
Just not a damn thing changed from
Dan
the week before.
Like, well, they're not going to remember from last week. Okay, bud. Okay. Todd's looking at me like, it's a slant. It's a slant. And he picked it off and ran it to the house.
Oh, that's why he's one of the greats that never won. All right. Ted Johnson in studio. Here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
It's a story that is getting no coverage. And it would get massive coverage if it happened in Foxborough. Tom Brady against Kansas City throughout the game, there was a laser. These are illegal if you did this to a pilot. It's a federal crime. He had these lasers being pointed at his face during the game. There's multiple videos. But can you imagine the media coverage if this happened to Patrick Mahomes in Foxborough? It would lead every network. It is literally not being covered. It is a non-story except our show. Nobody's talking about this. Proving once again the agenda and bias against New England.
You like a nice hot dog?
Sliced? Mm-hmm. You like
real
it, right?
Slicey. You like it, right?
Oh, I love the conspiracies. So Ted Johnson.
The cheating all evens out, see, in the end, right?
I mean,
they're doing it too, right?
Oh, well, the Photoshops of Roger Goodell holding a green laser from the crowd have been all over the internet for the past couple days. So media day, we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. You know, we got Super Bowl week coming up, as you know, you've done this many times before.
Sure. As a player, and then, of course, as a radio guy. So I've been.
So you've seen this, both ends of the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen being treated with respect and then being treated like
being
garbage.
Treated. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, Radio Row, I mean, it's a cluster. It's chaos. It's one of those deals where you kind of see the same people every year. Like, I got a paid endorsement to every year that our station went every single year to cover the Radio Row and the Super Bowl. So I got this company that would endorse me, pay me to go around talking to every station every year.
Sure.
I'm literally, like, by the third or fourth year, I'm sitting there in, you know, at the Tampa radio station, they look at me like, I got to interview Ted Johnson again?
Yeah, right.
Like, dude, I've interviewed you the last 5 years, bro. What are you going to say different this year?
Right.
So it's kind of like one of those deals. It's fun, but it's the same people. It's the same kind of deal. It's and we talked about last year, man. Minneapolis, it was the food court where they crammed you in there. And so our show was afternoon, right? And that was when the Eagles fans were all lathered up.
Yep.
And by Thursday and Friday, you could barely hear yourself talk because Eagles fans are on top. Fly, Eagles, fly. And just kill me.
Celebrities were afraid, like athletes and celebrities were afraid to show up because they'd have to walk through all of those people to get where they were. And
maybe they didn't want to go to the mall.
Or maybe they didn't want to go to the mall. I mean, they did have 15 Lids stores at my last count. John was telling me the story. I mean, you had to stand there and answer, you know, dumb questions.
All
you know,
time I, most dumb question John, yeah. handed to Ted Johnson. I think it was 03, whatever it was.
No, it was the 96.
No, this is way back. This is before the Green Bay, back. The Green Bay game. He got the best media day question ever.
It's funny you say that, John, because people bring that question up to me. And do you want to tell them what the question was?
The question was, Ted Johnson, if you were a type of tree, what kind of tree would you be?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, John, let's ask Fred and Rich. Rich, Fred, if you could be a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
I get the F out of my face tree.
See, you know, I answered it. That's why you have a very successful morning radio show.
Exactly.
I said pussy willow.
Of course you would. And I knew that was coming before it happened.
So I'm sitting
that
there
very
going,
outrageous.
No, it's
it. It's one of those deals where I'm kind of still new to the whole media thing. I'm like, oh my God, is this a real question? I don't know. Yeah. Like, and I want to give the right answer, right? Because, you know, people ask me, you know, and I'm like, and I was so, I didn't, I got all these different trees in my head. And
I love that you were stressed out about this question.
Stressed out, man. I mean, people are going to judge me based on the answer I give right here. And I told John what my answer was. And like most people, he was like, wow, really? That's the best you came up with. So I asked John, I go, what tree would you be? He goes, I'd be a redwood.
Oak or something like that.
That's what everybody.
Strong starting. And you said,
I'd be a palm tree. I was from Southern California, man. I was a SoCal guy. I was like, I'd be a palm tree, man. That's what I would be. And it was like, wah, wah.
Yeah, where was this guy? Where was he from?
Who knows? Okay. You know, who knows? Some guy.
Well, I just went up to Slater one year. I said, so you're a big, huge nerd.
Slater was nice about it.
Do you have a question to ask?
Well, there wasn't a big crowd in front of him. No, I said, you're a big nerd. He goes, I know you.
Yeah, it's the media day.
Yeah.
It's changed drastically.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of fun. Everybody would just kind of mingle out in the field.
Yeah.
And there was a couple podiums, but it was pretty much everybody was fair game.
Yep.
And now it's vastly different. You know, it's only a select few. And so it's changed. It's morphed into, you know, a different kind of deal than it was when I was playing.
How tough is it to not let that stuff kind of screw up your preparation for a game the week? I mean, the whole pageantry of the Super Bowl. How tough is it to kind of let that be what it is where you still have your thoughts set on how you're going to win on Sunday?
Yeah, I think for the most part, you realize, dude, you don't want to screw this up. And so you do whatever it takes. I mean, you literally, like, everybody wants you to do that. You know, I'm always kind of amazed, like, family and friends. Like, hey, you want to go out? Like, dude, yeah. You realize I'm playing in the biggest game of my life.
Right.
I don't want to go out to dinner with you. No, I don't want to. You know, and it was one of those deals. I'll never forget these words came out of Bill Parcells' mouth when we went to that Super Bowl in 96. And it was, I mean, always saying the right things, Parcells. He's like, all right, guys, here's the deal. All right, we're playing in this big game. Don't be the guy to send us home early, right? You know, you're just like, okay, no pressure. Thanks, man. You know, this, you know, and so you get into the playoffs, you know, don't be the guy to send us home early. Don't be the guy to send us home early.
That's actually a good way to think.
So, I mean, you know what? So I was, you know, when all this stuff was going on, I was in my hotel room studying because I didn't want to be the guy to send us home early. So there's just, you got to understand the moment and what's at stake. And so, you know, and we all did. And these guys know that. I mean, you know, the team, I feel like the Rams, this is kind of new to these guys, right? They'll take in more sights. They'll go out to dinner with their family and friends maybe when they should be just chilling, staying out of the limelight, hunkering down,
Patriots,
getting ready for the game.
It's a business trip. They've been there, done that before.
Dude, it's, you know what? Here's the thing. I've been to a few. and I've been to four. I've been part of three championships. And you know what's the best part of the whole Super Bowl week?
What's that?
Meeting Snoop Dogg after a victory.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, just get to that after party.
Yeah.
The after party after a win is the best party all week long.
Oh, because the crafts don't skimp. They don't skimp.
Epic parties, man. And, you know, it's one of those deals where, I mean, literally, it's you win the game, and so it's like, they literally give you, like, two wristbands for people. I'm like... Like my 15 odd people of entourage, come on in, man. They're like, come on in. We just won the Super Bowl. The security people, okay, come on in. So it's like there's it's the best party ever. So you just realize, you know what? I want to enjoy that after party after we win.
Did you get some one time with Snoop?
Dude, Snoop was awesome. Man.
Okay,
like Snoop gets, you know, Snoop was.
Was he blazing?
Oh, of course.
He's high all the time.
Yeah,
I know four guys who smoked with him, and none of them are in media.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just if you hang out for a second with him, you're going to smoke. It's a done deal.
And you know the Snoop Dogg connection, right?
With the Patriots?
Yeah. He's very close friends with Willie McGinest.
And that's so, right. Same school.
Same
USC.
School. It was the first time I ever saw the Snoop Dogg. And Snoop Dogg is legendary. He's an iconic figure, right? We all know that. Remember the show Cribs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... Snoop Dogg was wearing a Willie Mack jersey, 55.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I looked at Willie Mack different. I was like, you're the man, bro. I mean, you're the man.
But, forget what you do on the field.
But he's like Captain Health. So he would, but he would smoke with Snoop. Oh. So good. It's all natural.
Right. Of course. So I was like, oh, Snoop. So everyone wanted me Snoop. So I go up to Snoop. I'm like, Snoop, man. Hey, my name's Ted Johnson. I'm a linebacker. Can I get a picture with him? He goes, yeah, TJ, let's get a picture. And you know, Snoop calling me TJ after the Super Bowl,
that's pretty great.
In 01 was a great memory.
Did you see RKK rubbing in, you know, with Snoop? I know that he's down with all the rappers.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see him, man.
Oh yeah.
He Robert Kraft.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, I'm sorry. RKK. Of course. I'm sorry. Of course. RKK, of course. Robert is you know, he transcends, you know, NFL ownership.
The
guy's got his hand in a lot of different things, and he's got a lot of different interests. And he's made it kind of a cool thing to hang out with him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an entertainer. So Robert Kraft is, he's, you know, he knows how to have a good time.
Yeah.
We know that.
Rick Ross, Meek Mill, he's down with all those guys. I just want to go through his... I've always wanted to interview him and talk about nothing about football and just about his rap friends and his obsession with sneakers.
Some headway,
won't,
right?
we
were, but then they heard us like doing the hot dog slice thing, and they did not like that.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I don't think that they... There was a break that we were doing about, you know, that him saying the hot dog slice thing, and I don't think they liked it.
Oh, man.
No, I don't think it was our show that they were upset with.
Yeah, because we're... Like,
No. They weren't upset with us. I just don't think he wants to do it.
No, because apparently he wanted to do it for a while. And then I don't think it was our show, but I was like, what could it have been? And I'm like, you know,
it wasn't
because
our show.
We're fairly... You
know, I know for a fact it wasn't our show.
We're pretty fair with
I know for a fact it wasn't.
Okay, all right. Well, let's try to get it back again. All I want to do is talk about sneakers and hip-hop culture with Robert
they
Kraft.
Said, don't, first of all, I can't do the Robert Kraft voice. And second of all, when they said don't do it, I'm like, I got to come on.
All right, we have to break because when we come back, we need the 5 minutes to talk to you because you have a Sarge Mike Riley story.
I got an observation on Sarge. So. All right. I just want to share it with you guys.
Okay, right.
We will have that for you in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 88.5 Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson in studio. And before we allow him to leave, Ted was part of the Kowloon crew last night that were out at the Kowloon over there in Saugus.
I love how, like, from the very beginning of y'all's show this morning, it's the Calhoun crew.
Oh, yeah.
It's already labeled the Calhoun crew.
Because it's like almost like the mafia. There's a head, and then there's a... What is it?
Consigliere.
Yeah,
and then there's kind of the face, and the... I don't know if anyone really chose this person to be the face, but there's Sarge, who's definitely the most vocal of all of them. Now, you, when you came and said that you have an observation about Mike Sarge Riley. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so here's the deal. So I moved back here in August, and I started listening daily to all the shows here at 95 The Sports Hub, and I listen to you guys every morning. And I was there when the Sarge Sucks thing was going, and I was like, I didn't get it, right, because I was new, and I didn't understand, and, you know, I'm just like, what is this guy, Sarge, like? I mean, I'd be curious to meet the guy so I can see what he's all about. Well, you know, I started doing some filling work over the holidays, and I got a chance to work with Sarge, and it just hit me. Like, within 5 minutes, I was like, I got it. I got it. Like, yep. I got it, man. I see what's going on. And then last night just confirmed what I thought the first time I met him. And it is weird. There's one thing about Sarge, though. It's a talent, man. You know what he's got me? You know what he within like 5 minutes, all of a sudden, that son of a gun, it's like he endeared himself to me.
Sure.
Like, it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, I want to look out for Sarge. You know? Sarge, I'm your guy. I'm going to Foxhole with you. It's like, I want to protect Sarge, right?
You know, might not want to listen to the next break.
It's like, he has this power where I'm like, I'm going to take care of you, buddy. But it's Sarge, I say, so it was very clear. You know, so you're kind of learning the dynamics of the station still and where everybody kind of fits and stuff. And it was clearly a Mike Riley show last night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Sarge's in charge.
It was almost like Sarge. It was almost like I feel like I caught him one time kind of around the corner just peeking in at us just with this this cat that ate the canary look, like beaming with pride.
Like, I did this.
I set this up.
Maybe that's why Jay Stu is so surly.
It could be. Why is Sarge getting all the credit?
No. But they make, like, Sarge the face of the operation so Jimmy can just go.
Yeah.
He can pull the strings.
Right. Like the Wizard of Oz.
It was Sarge. I mean, Teddy, you doing good, bud? Hey, get some more of that fish. Hey, get some more of the, crab rangoon. Hey, get some. Are you full yet? Did you get plenty to eat? I mean, it was. I was like, Sarge, you're the best host ever.
Meanwhile, he has no pull. It's all Andy White.
Seriously,
Andy's great too.
Yeah, Andy White is great.
Yeah, and so we had a great time. I love being part of the Kowloon crew.
Okay,
and it was fun to just see Sarge in all his glory last night.
Okay, now you are a large gentleman. Like, you're still working out. Like, you have not.
I love it,
your football days, you have kept in shape. John tells me that you absolutely crushed.
You put on a massive display
of food at Kowloon.
It was hard to miss.
So, John, you're one of those guys. People that observe me eating, I eat kind of like a child.
Okay.
I like a lot of ketchup. I like a lot of salt. People make comments about how. And I was starving last night.
You were.
I watched my son play basketball in Wayland. And then I drove out to Saugus, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. The traffic. I'm like, I know when I get there, like, I want to say hi to everybody.
Right, yeah.
Meanwhile, I literally just want to say, I don't want to talk to you. I just want to eat.
Yeah, right.
And so then I had to take the order, and the food comes. And I'm trying to talk and be nice.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I am starving. And so it had to look, as an observer, just watching me, like, dude. What, dude?
Just
what's your last meal?
I wasn't even intently watching. I just happened to look over, and there are two huge piles of food on two different plates in front of him.
John, I was so hungry. There were silverware, plates that were already used. I was like, I didn't wait for a clean fork. I used a napkin to clean off one of the forks that was already dirty. I was that hungry, man.
I just started shoveling.
You should have asked Sarge. You would have brought out the fine china.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ted Johnson, it's a pleasure, sir.
We definitely got to get you back here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.